Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Blessed hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, is our lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And again, Yahweh has blessed us to come before you another day. Today we will deal with promises and oaths according to the scriptures. The other day we dealt with vows to let you know what a vow is. And what is a vow? Vow is an oath or a sworn thing that you make unto Yahweh. You cannot make a vow to your wife, nor can your wife make a vow to her husband. A brother cannot make a vow to another brother, a vow to her sister. Vows are only made to Yahweh and Him only. And since they are only made to Yahweh, this is what Yahweh had to say concerning a vow. We will read the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, and this is what it says. And this is something that our people might want to consider. For it says in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, the 2nd verse, be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim. For Elohim is in heaven, and you upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And this is something we want to practice. We want to practice letting our words be few. Times when we find ourselves in trials and tribulations, when we find ourselves desiring to have such things, to be blessed in a certain type of way, oftentimes this calls us to make vows. And again, a vow is something you swear. You enter into an oath, Yahweh. And you'll find this in the 4th verse. Watch what it says. In Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, the 4th verse, when you vow violence to Elohim, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. Better is it that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Allow not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say you before the angel that it was an error. Why should Elohim be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? So we want to be very careful in the things that come out of our mouth. Especially concerning vows. Because once we make this vow, Yahweh, rest assured, are looking and expecting us to pay it to Him. We've made an oath to Him, and we promise to Him. And therefore, He's expecting for you or anyone that made that vow to pay it. So you might ask yourself, what if I don't make a vow? And then you ask yourself, well, what is a promise? And that's a very, very good question. What is a promise? And we're going to deal with a promise. But I want you to see something. I want to just see if I can locate this really quick, just to share some wisdom with you. And this wisdom has a lot to do with words, and it has a lot to do with your mouth. In the book of Ecclesiastes, and let me see if I can find it real quick. And it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. And the reason why I want to read this is primarily once we get into promises and oaths, this will become relevant. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, I'm going to read the 20th verse. Now watch what it says. Pay close attention. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20. For there is not a just man upon earth. And this word just means righteous man upon earth. That does good. Because if you're just, you're going to do good. And sins not. In other words, even though you might be righteous, even though you might be good, it don't mean you're not going to sin. So don't think, don't have the haughty attitude, the arrogant attitude, thinking or believing that because you're righteous, because you're good, that you won't sin. Everybody sins. So therefore, watch the 21st verse. Also, in addition to that, because once you have the mind that you're righteous and you're good, don't start thinking you can't sin. And while you at it, while you're thinking that way, it says also take no heed to all words that are spoken, lest you hear your servant curse you. In other words, fools want to hear everything said about them. Only a fool want to know everything that people have to say. Why would you want that? That's not wisdom at all. The scripture says, take no heed to all words spoken, lest you hear your servant curse you. In other words, since you want to hear everything, let me share with you, let me let you hear everything that spoke. And then you start hearing things that you didn't even want to hear. But you wanted to hear it? Now you hear it. Now you hear what everybody got to say about you. And that's something you don't want to get caught up in. Watch what it says. For oftentimes, also, your own heart knows that you yourself likewise have cursed others. Because after you get finished hearing everything that one will say about you, the words they will speak against you and about you, now, let's turn around and hear your heart, the very words that you done said about others. The point that your heart and your mouth done said everything or many things about other people. then don't allow your heart to be a hypocrite. And you mad what other people saying, but you're not mad at yourself about what your own mouth and heart done said against others. In other words, we must be balanced and have just weights. We can't have these false balances and get mad at other people when our mouth and heart done said, maybe not against that particular person, but you done said something against somebody, which is the same exact crime. So we have to come down off this mighty mountain we have made for ourselves. Now, why do I bring that up? Heed to all words spoken. You can't. You should not. But make no mistake about it. Words are very important. So important. Watch this in a book. Of Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter. This is the law, because we talked about vows. Now we're going to deal with an oath. But here you might see all three. In the book of Deuteronomy 23, and watch what this says. Again, dealing with a vow, but watch what it go into. When you shall vow unto Yahweh your Elohim, you shall not slack to pay it. This is the law. For Yahweh your Elohim will surely require it of you, and it will be sin in you. But if you shall forbear the vow, it shall be no sin in you. In other words, nobody ain't making you vow to Yahweh. Yahweh's not making you do this. You choose to do this. Watch what it says in the 23rd verse. That which is gone out of your lips, you shall keep and perform. Talking about a vow. Even a free will offering. Because you freely offered this up to Yahweh. According as you have vowed unto Yahweh your Elohim. And watch what it says, which you have promised with your mouth. That's what you promised. And a vow is something that you promise or swear or make an oath to Yahweh. But what is a mere promise? You'd be surprised to know what that is. And we're going to start in Psalms 105. And show you why. Just look here. Our enemies promised us 40 acres and a mule. Our enemies promised, according to the Constitution, to have liberty and freedom and justice for all. That don't look or sound like something that is true for many of the citizens of this country. As a matter of fact, it sounds like a lie. Ask the so-called American Indian, the many treaties that he has signed. And what is a treaty? A treaty is between two countries. So they sign treaties with the Native American. Well, if they native to this country, then what country are the other people? That don't even sound right. In other words, the Indian is the native one. So what country is all the other inhabitants from? And you'll find they're not from here at all. They're not the original man, the native man. But they're signing treaties as if they are their own country, and they're not. This land, and call themselves something that bears the name of other people. And none of these treaties that they have signed have even come to pass. They done broke every treaty that they have signed, every one of them. Watch this in the book of Psalms 105. Just want you to see what a promise is. And we're going to read 40 verse. Watch this. The people asked and brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran into the dry places like a river. And watch the 42nd verse. For he remembered his holy promise. Abraham, his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy, his chosen with gladness. He gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes, keep his laws. Praise ye Yah. In other words, Yahweh remembered his holy promise that he made with Abraham. Well, little do people know, the word promise comes from the Hebrew word dabar, which means word. In other words, you don't have to go around telling people, I promise. I promise I'll do it. I promise I'll give it to you. I promise I'll give you back. The word promise in of itself mean your word. You don't have to promise nobody anything once you give your word. And you say you will do such and such and such. That in and of itself is a promise because you gave your word. This is why many of our words don't mean nothing. Because we've given our word. And our word is not worth 2 cents. And that's bad. And many of our words don't mean nothing because we have learned some bad ways. I can assure you, if we was raised differently, our word might mean something. But right now, our words mean nothing. Because the very word promise means word. It's the same exact Hebrew word for word. In the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, watch what it says. Vow is a promise, an oath, something sworn to Yahweh. But a promise is merely and simply your word. In the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, watch what it says. The 56th verse. Blessed be Yahweh that has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moshe, his servant. Because all Yahweh had to do is speak. And once Yahweh give his word, Yahweh is also given his promise. And there's no two definitions for any word when it comes to Yahweh. Yahweh's word is his promise. He is his word. So likewise, our word must be our promise, because our promise is our word. And I know many of us, our word is nothing. But now you know your word is your promise. Therefore, now you can go forth with the knowledge to keep your word. Or you can do what we read in the beginning, and that is your words be few. For a fool is known by the multitude of words. So let your words be few. And if you can't let your words be few, as many do not, still show wisdom by taking heed, taking not heed to every word spoken. Don't just get caught up in people's words, because you're going to show yourself to be a hypocrite, as many people do. Also, in the book of Second Chronicles, we're talking about a promise. And what is a promise? It's your word. Whether you say I promise or not, don't matter. 2 Chronicles, the first chapter. You don't have to say, I promise. You already promised. Well, I didn't promise. Yes, you did. Did you give your word? Yeah, I gave my word. Did you mean your word? Yeah, I meant my word. Then you promised. But, you know, stuff comes up and happens, yes. And when that happens, you break your word. That's all. I'm not trying to get caught up in your word, but you broke your word. 2 Chronicles, the first chapter. And watch what it says. And let me tell y'all, Yahweh don't break his word, nor his promises, because his promise is his word. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, the 9th verse, now, O Yahweh, Elohim, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth, in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out in before this people. For who can judge this your people that is so great? And of course, our people don't think our people are great at all. They don't think our people are great in nothing. Only a wise man knows how great our people are. And they know this because Yahweh is the one that made them great. And because they have statutes and judgments so righteous as this law, the only thing that comes from these great statutes, these great laws, these great covenants, is greatness. Therefore, it takes a wise and knowledgeable person to judge such a great people. Also, dealing with promise in the book of Nehemiah. That was vows. Now we're dealing with promises. And all this can do is to elevate you and make you become great. Because now you can see what your word really means. Your word is a promise. And your promise is your word. Watch what it says in the book of Nehemiah, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to read the 12th verse. And this is what it says. Then say they, we will restore them and will require nothing from them. So will we do as you say. And I called a priest and took an oath from them that they should do according to this promise. Because a promise can be made from one man to the other. A promise is your word. Also, I shook my lap and said, so Elohim shake out every man from his house, from his labor, that performs not this promise. Even dust be shaken out and empty. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise Yahweh. And the people did according to this promise. And again, this promise comes from the Hebrew word dabar, which means your word. You give your word, you promise it. You promise, fulfill it. Or let your words be few. That's all. You don't got to talk all the time. I know a lot of people that's quiet. You don't have to talk about everything. You don't have to give your word about everything. You can say, let me not give my word on this matter. Deuteronomy 1st chapter. Watch what it says. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 1st chapter, the 10th verse, well, I start at the 9th verse, and I spoke to you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. Yahweh Elohim has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitudes. I mean, we greatly increased in the wilderness. We were like the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. 12th verse. How can I myself alone bear your trouble, your burden, and your strife? Take you wisely and understanding, known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And this is what they began to do. And I'm going to read this 11th verse again. It says, Yahweh Elohim of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are and bless you as he has promised you. Times we don't see the promises of Yahweh because oftentimes we're not paying no attention. Many of the promises of Yahweh are in 3D right now, happening every day. But yet, our people seem not to be very familiar with his promise. And his promise is his word. So therefore, a lot of things happening that they will not even acknowledge. They don't know his word. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, watch what it says. And we're going to read starting at the very first verse. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which Yahweh Elohim commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear Yahweh Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your son's son all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh your Elohim of your fathers have promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. And you can't get caught up in the English, nor can you really get caught up in the Hebrew. But make no mistake about it. You can put word here or promise here, and they mean the same thing. Because Yahweh's word is his promise. And Yahweh's promise is his word. So what do you think your word is? And what do you think your promise is? Going back to the book of 1 Kings, Dave chapter, because there's another verse in 1 Kings that I neglected to read, and I want to read this too. And you can see this. 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. And this is what it says. We're going to start at the 18th verse. So let's start at 17. 1 Kings 8 and 17. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And you got to ask yourself, what's in your heart? In your heart, do you want freedom? In your heart, do you want liberty? In your heart, do you want things to come to an end? Or is your heart deceived to believe that this year is no different from the next? The one that we just came out of and the one that we're going into. Watch what it says. And Yahweh said to David, my father, whereas it was in your heart to build a house unto my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build a house, but your son that shall come forth out of your loins, he shall build a house unto my name. And watch what it says in the 20th verse. And Yahweh has performed his word that he spoke. And I have risen up in the room of David, my father, throne of Israel. as Yahweh promised. Because Yahweh's word that he spoke is Yahweh's promise that he made. And have built a house for the name of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And watch what it says. Still in 1 Kings 8 chapter. Verse 24. Well, we're going to go to 23. And he said, Yahweh Elohim Israel, there is no Elohim like you. Watch what it says now. In heaven above, or on who keeps covenant and mercy with your servants that walk before you with all their heart. You know, oftentimes we don't understand why things don't happen with us. Because we're not walking with Yahweh with all our heart. So when we don't find the mercy that we're looking for, and things not happening for us, let me get my verse back. Verse 24, watch what it says. Who has kept with your servant David, my father, that you promised him. You spoke also with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand. As it is this day, he promised it and he spoke it with his mouth. Watch what it says. Therefore now, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that you promised him, saying, there shall not fail you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that your children take heed to their way, and that they walk before me as you have walked before me. So you see how Yahweh see a promise. It's not like how we were taught a promise is. A promise is your word. Your word is a promise. But what if, but what about an oath? Is there something a little bit more greater than your word? It's good that I have your word. And you should do the things that you have spoken, because that's your word. And your word is your promise. But then there's a next level, and it's called an oath. And what is an oath? Well, let me show you what an oath is so you can understand the difference between that vow, this promise, and if you go to the book of Genesis 24, in the book of Genesis 24, I want you to see this. And I apologize, this air condition is not my friend, and we have a lot of air going on in this room. Genesis 24. Of Abraham. We're going to start at the very first verse. Give me 1 second. Genesis 24 and 1. You know, I apologize. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. Watch what Abraham would do. I want you to see this. Put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven, the Elohim of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need to bring your son again to the land from where you come from? And Abraham said to him, beware, you know, that you bring not my son there again. Yahweh Elohim of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me, and that swore unto me, saying, unto your seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife unto my son from there. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son there again. In other words, what is an oath? An oath is something that you swear by. It's a sworn thing. And according to our law, when you swear and you do a sworn thing, you only can swear in the name of the Most High. That's it. That's the law. So you might promise something, but then there's another level. In the next level, and you might say, brother, I know your word is good, but this thing I need you to swear to. Well, I can't swear. Well, I'm going to need somebody else to do this thing because I need somebody to swear to this. Watch what it says in this same Genesis 24. We're going to read the 40th verse. And he said to me, Yahweh, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then, in other words, he's explaining this thing. Then shall you be clear from this my oath when you come to my kindred. And if they give not you one, you shall be clear from my oath. And I came this day to the well and said, O Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, if now you do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray you, a little water of your pitcher to drink. And she said to me, both drink you, and I will also draw for your camels. Let the same be the woman whom Yahweh has appointed for my master's son. And that's exactly what she did. Because he prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh answered his prayer. Powerful the word of Yahweh is. But if we become men of our word, the words that we speak, Imagine how powerful our words can be. First verse. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Philistine, unto Gerar. And Yahweh appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath I swore to Abraham, your father. Because Yahweh didn't just promise to Abraham, Yahweh sworn by himself and made an oath unto Yahweh. Powerful. Yahweh will become. This is how powerful Yahweh word is. And this is something that we have to learn. And they said the sound is low. Turn that up for me. Also, watch this. In the book of Genesis 50. Genesis 50. And I'm going to read, start at the 24th verse. And Yosef said to his brothers, I die. Genesis 50 and 24. And Yosef said to his brothers, I die. And Elohim will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. So Yahweh didn't just promise this thing. Yahweh swore. And the only thing you can swear to is Yahweh. So when Yahweh swore, he swore to himself and nothing else. Watch what it says. Twenty-fifth verse. And Yosef took an oath of the children of Israel. In other words, he didn't want just a bunch of promises. Saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Yosef died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And sure enough, when it came time, and it did become time, you will read in the book of Exodus, the 13th chapter. Watch what it says. I'm going to read the 19th verse. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. And why? And Moses wasn't even born during the time of Yosef. But this is how oaths are kept. This oath was made generations ago. Many years ago. In other words, Yosef was in Egypt at the beginning. And when they came out, 430 years later, Moses would keep this oath. So you know this oath was passed down from generation to generation. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him For he has straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from here with you. Because Yosef didn't want to be in Egypt anyway, even though he was blessed in Egypt. Therefore, he said, look, when I take these bones, when you leave, you take me with you. I don't want to be in bondage no more, even though he didn't have the bondage all the other Israelites had. And, of course, they took the bones of Yosef out with them. And we had a law. Watch this law in the book of Exodus 22. Started out with vows. And a vow is a promise, a sworn oath unto Yahweh. It's between you and him. But a promise is your word. And your word is a promise. But an oath is your sworn word to a thing in the name of Yahweh. In the book of Exodus, the 22nd chapter, watch what this says. The 10th verse. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it dies, or is hurt, or driven away, and no man seeing it, watch what's supposed to happen. 11th verse. Then shall an oath of Yahweh be between them both, that he has not put his hand to his neighbor good, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner thereof. If it is torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, and he shall not make it good that which was stolen. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it is broken or dies, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. In other words, these are very laws, and then some things you just got to swear to, and you got to make an oath to. I swear this day in the name of Yahweh, such and such, this sworn oath be between you and I and Yahweh. And this is the law. Furthermore, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, speaking about an oath. And what is an oath? An oath is a sworn thing out of your mouth. Whereas a promise is just your word. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 6th verse, this is what it says. For you are a holy people unto Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. but because Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn to your fathers, has Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And this is why we serve Yahweh. This is why we worship Yahweh. This is why we believe in Yahweh, because Yahweh keeps his oaths. Yahweh fulfills his promises. And what is his promise? His word. And what is his oath? The thing that he has sworn by himself. And another law that I want you to read to help you understand this great oath, this sworn thing, in the book of Numbers, the 5th chapter. And we're going to start reading in Numbers 5. Let's start reading at the 11th verse. And watch what it says. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes aside and commits a trespass against him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and is kept secret, and she is defiled, and there is no witness against her, nor she is called in the matter. In other words, she wasn't caught doing the wrong. Nobody seen her doing the wrong. Nobody said that she was doing wrong. But a certain spirit came upon her husband. And when this spirit comes upon her husband, look what the scriptures call this spirit in the 14th verse. And the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he is jealous of his wife, and she is defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he is jealous of his wife, and she is not defiled. In other words, just because you're jealous don't mean someone is guilty. All it means is you are jealous. But that does not determine your guilt. And you won't read where once you become jealous, now I'm a sneak around him. Now I'm going to follow him. Now I'm going to do this and now I'm going to do that. No, we're Israel. We are a holy people unto Yahweh. We don't be like heathens, nor do we lean to our own understanding. It lets us know exactly what we ought to do when a man becomes jealous. Watch what it says. Then shall the man bring his wife to the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephod of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And watch what happens.
Because this is a serious thing. And the priest shall bring her near, set her before Yahweh. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into water. Priest shall set the woman before Yahweh and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hands the bitter water that causes the curse. Watch the 19th verse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not gone aside cleanness with another instead of your husband, be you free from this bitter water that causes the curse. But if you have gone aside to another instead of your husband, and if you are defiled, and some man has lain with you besides your husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say to the woman, Yahweh makes you a curse and an oath among your people. When Yahweh does make your thigh to rot and your belly to swell. And what this is, a lot of people have this issue today and they don't even know why. Why they thighs have rotted out. They have no control over their thighs, like it's no muscles at all. Stomach jacked up. And they don't know why. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's not. But watch what it says. And this water that causes the curse shall go into your bowels to make your belly to swell and your thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, Amen, Amen. And the priest shall write these curses in the book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse. And the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, wave the offering before Yahweh, and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, burn it upon the altar. Afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he has made her drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she is defiled and has done trespass against her husband, that the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Her belly shall swell, her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. But there's good news, women. And if the woman is not defiled, but is clean, then she shall be free and shall conceive seed. In other words, if she's not defiled, the curse don't become on the husband because he was jealous. He knows. In other words, she's clear from this curse, and Yahweh will bless her with more seed. This is what this water will do. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife goes aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled. Or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he is jealous over his wife. And shall set the woman before Yahweh. And the priest shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. This is an oath. And you might ask yourself, what if the woman become jealous of her husband? What shall the husband drink? Well, let me tell you. A good bottle of scotch. And I'm just kidding. He drinks nothing. This is an oath. This is a promise. And this is vows. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom. Yahweh.